Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be discussing the question as to whether Conservative Inc. is lying about saving babies. And this is meant to be a little bit provocative, but the overall question that I'm asking is whether organizations that sponsor Conservative Inc., not necessarily the pundits themselves, are lying about saving babies. I'm talking about organizations like Preborn that work with Blaze TV, and there might be others, but that's the big one that I'm talking about because that's the one that, you know, is fresh on my mind for claiming to save 80% of babies that they do ultrasounds of. So that's a huge claim. And is there anything to back that up, or is there any counter evidence that would undermine this entire effort? So that's what I wanted to talk about today. Hopefully it might give you some insight on how to best steward your money when it comes to fighting for the pro-life cause, being a Christian in political activism. So that's what we're going to do today. You can support Evangelical Dark Web at evangelicaldarkweb.org/join. Our Patreon-like system. This is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry, so we cover issues like this. And we did so last week on a live stream with T. Russell Hunter of Abolitionist Rising. And I wanted to showcase this clip from that live stream that dives deep into this question. You can support this ministry, evangelicaldarkweb.org/join. Patreon-like system gives you more access to more content, bonus content, stuff like that. But the least you can do is like this video, subscribe to the channel, to the podcast, if you are new. Now, here's the clip that I did in last week's live stream. So I want to get your take on this because my church, they work with a pregnancy crisis center. And then you got organizations like the Blaze that have like the Preborn thing that they work with. They do the ultrasounds. Mm-hmm. Now, the Blaze will boast at 80% success rate. And then pregnancy crisis center actually said it's not the guarantee that, you know, you might think, you know, it's not as effective as it was a few years ago. A lot of women are just doing it so they know how far along they are, so they know what treatment that they're going to get inside the clinic, so to speak.
Yeah, and most,
so what's your kind of read on the whole ultrasound ministry? And that's one of the only things that the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission does that I might say is money well spent, because I just think everything else is useless and I'm trying to, you know, give them some.
Well,
I'm trying to say, okay, at least this money wasn't wasted.
Well, consider this. Everything that isn't abolition and everything that isn't like consistent with abolition, it needs to be assessed to whether it is a substitute for abolition. So if you're being put forward like, okay, our organization can put time, money, energy, resources into seeking to establish equal justice under the law for preborn babies, or because that's what we should do because we are an ethics and religious liberty group and we weigh in on public policy. Like we could do that and we could help abolish abortion, or we could support like these ultrasound buses and so on and so forth so that we can say, look what we're doing. And then at the same time, they oppose abolition. So I think that you got to look at these things and like, is some good done? Of course, but is it being done as a substitute for what ought to be done so that you can justify the evil that you're actually doing, which is opposing abolition? So they oppose abolition. They oppose bills of abolition. They oppose abolitionist groups, organizations, rhetoric, you know, projects and all that sort of stuff. But then they support ultrasound buses so they can like pat themselves. We're not guilty. It's just like a way for them to justify their apathy, indifference, and lack of courage and conviction when it comes to, you know, passing just laws that God would like. So, you know, I'm pretty wary about it as a substitute thing to make people feel better. But on top of that, a lot of the stats that you see from like crisis pregnancy centers, ultrasound buses, and all that kind of stuff are incredibly skewed, and you shouldn't use them at all. I've known people who've worked for crisis pregnancy centers who've become abolitionist and then turn around and said, yeah, and I now, like, I feel bad, but I need to admit that when the numbers that we had put forward as saves or changes, a lot of those were like people that were never going to abort their babies. Like, you have a CPC that's connected to a large church. In that large church, people use that CPC as like free ultrasound, and they count those people as having chose life.
Wow.
Like I remember whenever I first got involved, when I was convicted, I needed to do something about abortion, and I didn't really know what. And so I just kind of went and did the thing that you know, everyone was doing. You know, we were giving, my wife and I giving to a CPC, and I was like, I'll go clean. I'll be a nighttime janitor for the crisis pregnancy center. I'll clean the toilets and the exam rooms and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, not just to bag on them, but like, it was pretty disillusioning, in general, how like there's an abortion mill on one side of town and then a CPC on the other side of town. And people that are truly abortion minded don't go to the CPC, and the CPC doesn't have people out in front of the abortion clinic to say, hey, come do this. So all the truly abortion minded people go to the abortion mill, get their abortions. And the ones that really don't think it's good, go to the CPC. And so I was already kind of disillusioned in seeing this. And
yeah, because it's skewed in the first place just by lead generation.
Yes.
And the way that it was described, you know, at my church was that their whole value proposition is we're trying to get first. We are going to be as available as possible so that they can book an ultrasound first before they go into the, you know, the abortion mill. So that was their whole thing. But, and it sounds like they do actually reach women that might otherwise get an abortion, but it's like they have no way of measuring how many, you know, people change their mind as a result of an ultrasound. They basically just said, yeah, okay. 6 weeks, 8 weeks. Okay. At least I know. So whether it's a pill or the next stage.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more, you know, it's cold blooded now. It's a lot like the ultrasounds. Maybe they would have worked when it was novel technology, but you can, you know, even
you can buy
a Doppler machine to get the heartbeat on, you know, on Amazon. It's not that expensive.
Yeah. Here's the fact of the matter. And so like in Oklahoma, back when we passed a law saying before an abortion is performed, you have to tell the person, would you like an ultrasound? Like that was like a law that was passed.
So edgy.
The abortion numbers went up from the year that passed to the next year. And from that, and that was back in like 2014,
right?
Even
earlier.
Yeah. It may have been 2000. I mean, I don't hold me to any numbers. I'm not a numbers guy, but like,
I remember when those types of laws were okay. Now you have to bury it afterwards. And then you have to
murder your baby after you've looked at an ultrasound, or the abortionist themselves is required to do the ultrasound and show you something, which they could show you anything, you know, but like, when you look at the numbers, and after about 5 years of that ultrasound law being in place, and you look at, there's still like in Oklahoma, 5,000 abortions a year or whatever. I actually had the opportunity to go and talk to the guy who passed that ultrasound law. And his name was Senator Randy Brogdon. And I said, you know, he blood, sweat, tears, took persecution for passing this thing. You know, his motives were right and all this kind of stuff. But once he realized that the 20,000 abortions or however many thousands of abortions had happened since he passed that law were all carried out in accordance with his law. Like his law said, you can murder babies in the state of Oklahoma so long as you do this. And every single abortion in the state of Oklahoma was in accordance with what he thought was a good way to stop them, and the numbers hadn't decreased, you know, it broke him. It hit him like a ton of bricks. He's like, oh my gosh, I would have used my time and energy as a senator to try to abolish abortion, but I didn't even think about that.
So that's a clip that I wanted to share, and that was one of my only premeditated questions that I wanted to ask, because this has been a curiosity for a long time for me. When my church had the presentation, it really showed that that ministry was actually effective because it was reaching the people who would be considering murder, but at the end of the day, they had no way of measuring success. And that's because they were actually more effective. So Preborn makes pretty outrageous and outlandish claims, in my opinion. And Abolitionist Rising really shed some light onto why these claims are outrageous, the fudging of the numbers. And it just gets you thinking, you know, how much of this is a fig leaf for ineffective political mobilization? How much of this is we're trying to wash our hands because we have fought actual ways of abolishing the murder of babies? So these are all questions that are on my mind. I want to know what you think the answers are in the comments section. Let me know. Have a blessed day. Stay based. Christ is King. And we will catch you on the next one.